Hello, everybody. Thank you so much for joining me today. I'm here with Anne, and she's my guest for today. And I'm so excited that you've joined us. And I know it's July, and everybody's on holidays, and they're all doing busy stuff. So I wanted to say welcome. So Anne, I am so pleased to have you on my show today. Could you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got started doing what you're doing now?
Oh, yes. In my earlier career life, I was a government employee. And that in that role, eventually I got a position as the coordinator for the New Mexico Radioactive Waste Consultation Task Force, which is a big mouthful. But basically, I dealt with a lot of controversial issues around radioactive waste transportation and storage here in New Mexico, because we are the home of the atom bomb, the birthplace of the atom bomb. So in that role, my job was mostly to do liaison work between the public and the government, and between governmental agency entities as well, state to state, agencies within the state of New Mexico and the state of New Mexico and the federal government. Mm-hmm. And my cabinet secretary at the time, when I was hired, said, I want you to get trained as a mediator.
Yeah.
So that's how I got started in the work, you know, as a mediator. Mm-hmm. And eventually I retired from state government in 2012. And for a few years, I focused in on helping businesses with their conflict issues. And it was somewhat frustrating working with businesses because they typically, even though we spend a lot of time at work all day long, we don't have quite as much personally at stake Mm-hmm. as we do in some other areas of our lives. So people can get very entrenched and invested in staying in their space of conflict. That's kind of the way it's been for a long time. They've gotten comfortable with it. I can live with this. I don't have to go home at night and spend the evening with this person.
Yeah.
You know, so then I was not sure what I wanted. And a friend of mine who's a lawyer said, you know, I think you can help a lot of my clients on child custody cases. And she asked me to come in and work with, and I was already getting some ideas about conflict and managing it a little differently, not just a straight mediation where you instead coach each side beforehand. Mm-hmm. I'll get them better understand themselves, help them think a little bit more outside of the emotional experience about what's going on for the other person, and help them be more centered on where their best thinking will occur. Because when we're in a space of anger or fear, we don't have our full capacity to problem solve.
Right.
So in that context, she said, I think you can help these families that are in crisis over child custody issues.
Right.
So she brought me in 2019. That's when I got started, spring of 2019. And since then, I've just been getting more and more referrals. Other lawyers get connected with me because, you know, there's usually another lawyer involved in these cases.
Right.
And then they start to bring me in on cases as well.
Right.
And it's very rewarding work because most people are very concerned about their children's welfare.
Right.
And that's a big stake, you know, that's more than what you had at your job. This is your future. This is the happiness of someone who's very important to you. So that is what they keep in mind when they work with me. How can I come out with the best outcome for my children?
Right.
And it's very satisfying. And my goal is to make it accessible to people of all different means. So I have a sliding scale, mm-hmm. and it goes, you know, for the lowest tier, it's at $50 a session, and at the highest tier, it's $250. And I'm still cheaper than most mediators out there. So this isn't about making money. This is about heart work, really.
Right. Yeah. Because if you're really, truly invested in the client and getting them to come to a better decision than their anger or their fear, whatever's going on, all the emotions, very emotional, right? So they really have to focus on who is it benefiting? I'm doing this work to benefit whom? And if it's my child that I want the best for my child, then you have to have that focus. And you could, I guess you, what would you do? Compartmentalize the anger and the fear in somewhere else?
Well, in kind of a way, I mean, we don't want to ignore our anger. We don't want to ignore our emotional life. It's very, very important. I'm sure you've dealt with that in the work you do, right? And it's super important. And it isn't even, you know, I am very inspired by the work of a neuroscientist called Lisa Feldman Barrett. And in the work research she's done, she discovered that emotions don't actually start in the brain. Mm-hmm. They start in our bodies.
Right.
And the way I interpret that is that this kind of like we have this, well, there's a technical term, the reticular activating system, but there's also a less technical term, which would be almost like a decentralized nervous system, like an ant.
Right.
Where you're sensing the world around you all the time. And that first emotional sense, that feeling you get is the same as what an ant gets.
Right.
However, because we are more complex than ants, we make up all kinds of wonderful stories to go with that sensation. And we create a much more complex emotional life. Mm-hmm. But what I do with my clients is I ask them to, I say, you got to see this emotion. You're angry for a reason. Yep. Anger is an action emotion.
Right.
It inspires you to take some kind of action.
Right.
And so you got to sit back and say, all right, I'm angry. What is it that I need to get out of this situation that I'm angry about?
Right. Right.
What's the best outcome? Okay, if I live in my anger, I'm just going to be angry.
Yeah.
But if I step outside of my anger, say, there it is. I don't want to ignore it. I don't want to put it away. I think it's important. It tells me important information. But I'm going to step outside of it just for a little bit to say, okay, how do I create a level of trust and safety for myself?
Right.
So that I can then access my full conscious capacity for thinking. Mm-hmm. So that in order to get out of that more primitive part of the brain that's linked closely to our amygdalas, mm-hmm. that fight, flight, freeze, and some people have added a P, sometimes we just try to make the other person happy in order to make discomfort go away.
Right.
But if we want to move out of that space, because that's a very limited set of solutions, right? To be able to do great things, to find those best solutions for our children or whoever is affected by this conflict.
Right.
You know, sometimes it's hurting your life deeply. Then you've got to create a sense of safety and security and trust for yourself. You have to say, I can trust myself to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And I am going to do my best and trust the process that, especially with this help of this facilitator, me,
right.
that it will be a safe space and we will come to a better resolution than what we have now.
Right.
And that's where I come from.
Right, right. Now, it's really good insight what you were sharing about, you know, our anger is here. It's just like we don't want to escape it, but we do want to. It's actually in our way to get what we really want, right?
Exactly. So we just have to step to the side of it.
Yeah.
But we don't want to box it up. You know, it's almost like that out of body thing. You look at, oh, look, there's anger there. Now, what should I do now?
It's sort of like the work I do is, you know, you might be angry about a person or a thing or something, but it's, you know, you have to fully embrace the anger before you can forgive yourself or the other person. So just let it go, right?
Right,
like
right.
And thing, the anger is a true emotion. It's an action kind of idea. Yeah, I get angry. I got to go do this, blah, 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 blah. Rather than just say, okay, I'm not happy about this situation, but what am I going to do about her?
Yeah. Exactly. And then that's, you are honoring your anger by right. saying, what am I going to do about it? And taking some action. Right. So you are acknowledging and acting on the information that you got from that emotional experience. And that's what it's there for.
Right.
Your emotions right. are our first line, our first sensory space, you know,
right.
Is this a safe place? Is this not a safe place? Is this a place I want to go to for joy? You know, yeah. is that food or rest or whatever? Yeah. Or is this a place I want to run away from because right. bad things are going to happen to me?
Yeah.
or protect myself, create some kind of strategy.
You know,
what's that
yeah.
look like?
So tell us a little bit about a really successful client relationship. You don't have to tell us who they were, but just right. you know, the situation. What was a successful situation that you were able to help somebody?
Well, in the first case that I got brought in on, the parents, they had a medically fragile child. So it was really a high emotional space. It was lots of charge to it and lots of concern about this child, not just a typical child. She had a lot of medical needs that needed to be coordinated between the two parents effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both equally invested in her happiness.
Right.
So they were not speak, but they didn't trust each other at all.
Okay.
In terms of being kind to each other, I think they trusted each other with the child.
Right.
They believed that the other person had their heart in the right place concerning the child,
right.
but not in terms of interacting with each other.
Right.
So they were only communicating by text, mm-hmm. and they needed to be able to actually have real conversations
right.
so they could brief each other on what happened at the doctor's appointments and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And have discussions about what the next move would be. And they made all these decisions jointly.
Yeah, right.
So I got brought in on that case and I worked with each parent. I worked with one of the parents three times and the other parent, I actually had probably four or five or six sessions with because mm-hmm. she had a lot of anger.
Right.
That was really the big thing that was getting in her way. And she really wanted to get through it. I mean, she yeah. was definitely committed to making this change.
Right.
And so by the time I brought them in together,
mm-hmm.
and this was before COVID, so we did all of this in person.
Yeah.
and we were in a room that I had reserved for, you know, 2 hours. She had come with a list of all the things that she wanted to make sure they addressed. And she had come in with a script for herself saying, here's what I own here.
Yeah.
I apologize for my behavior on these certain things. And I am not going to act in this way. I want to be able to move forward in a positive way.
Right.
And she started the whole meeting from that space of
yeah.
saying, here's what I own and taking personal responsibility for her own actions. And he did the same. But she mm-hmm. was the one who really did the big thing.
Yeah.
It was her big move, you know, big shift.
Yeah.
And this meeting was over in less than half an hour.
Yeah.
We had just a few things that we wrote down to make sure that those things were addressed. So they both mm-hmm. had, you know, a strong understanding of what certain issues, how certain issues would be taken care of. And that was it. And everything went really well for them for a couple of years. They wow. are now having a few new challenges. I've had to come in and help them yeah. again, but it's not as bad. It's not as challenging as it was the first time.
Right.
So they definitely were able to make some long-term progress.
Right.
And that's my goal, is to not be of need forever.
Yeah.
I mean, some of my clients bring me in a little bit, you know,
yeah.
a year later or 2 years later to
yeah.
facilitate a conversation. But most of the time, it's a set amount of time, and then they are able to move on. They do mm-hmm. it better on their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So what did you feel that was really an accomplishment for you in that situation? Just that they were able to resolve their own issues about...
Well, yes. Yeah. And I I mean, for me, it was a learning experience too, because it was my first.
Yeah.
And so I think at a very personal level, the biggest accomplishment for me was that it gave me a lot more confidence that I did really understand this process that I was working on and developing, that I was in a centered space mm-hmm. enough to help them figure out what they needed. Because mm-hmm. my goal is never, like a good coach,
yep.
I'm not supposed to come up with the answer. I'm just simply there to provide additional information when they don't have all the information they might need, to help them develop certain skills, to manage the things that they want to accomplish, and help them understand themselves and the other party better. So I ask them questions to help them figure out what their deeper needs are and what their goals in most of these cases is, what are the goals for their children. I also help people with elder care issues as well.
Right.
And in a recent case I've been dealing with, which has been very challenging, but it's also been a big learning experience. It's a couple that they abused various substances together.
Yeah.
They're older. They're in their late 70s. And I think she would, when they were both, under the influence, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, she would decide, I'm going to call the police.
Yeah.
So she called the police a few times. I don't think he ever physically harmed her, but whatever, she thought it was a good idea. And the police came. And after the third or fourth time, they said, okay, we're going to take some action here.
Yeah.
And they took her to a shelter and they took him to jail, which is not unusual for a domestic violence kind of situation.
Right.
They didn't end up, he never ended up being charged.
Yeah.
But when she was in the shelter, they discovered that she had dementia. So because, and it was probably alcohol induced, because that was their primary substance of choice.
Right.
And so at that point, I believe her next of kin was notified, which is a son that lives far away.
Yeah.
And a guardian was appointed, because she didn't want her son to be the guardian.
Okay.
And her husband was not deemed appropriate because of the pattern of behavior that they had from before.
Right.
So what eventually happened is she needed 24-hour care because mm-hmm. of her, it's not really care, more, it was more like babysitting in a way, adult sitting. Someone who can call for emergency, who can be there if a special need comes up, that type of thing.
Yeah.
Well, she went to a assisted living place. She hated it.
Mm-hmm.
So she went back to her home. She has enough financial resources. So she went back to her home, and now she has an agency that comes in. People have shifts and they have 24 hours. There's somebody there.
Mm-hmm.
And once that happened, the husband didn't like those other people being in his house. And because the house actually belongs to her, the guardian was able to get the judge to say, you can't live in that house until you can learn how to behave better.
Right.
So that was my challenge, was to help him get to a space where he could live in the house again.
Right.
And it has, now it's been almost a year I've been working, and he's now about to go into rehab.
Mm-hmm.
So that might make a big difference, we're hoping.
Right.
And a lot of things are getting taken care of that weren't being taken care of before. He was just kind of ignored in a way.
Right.
And so he got himself a lawyer. Like, I have rights in this situation.
Yeah.
I need to do that. So that's when they brought me in, is because of that. And it's been a very interesting journey.
Mm-hmm.
I've seen a lot of progress.
Yeah.
But it's not resolved yet. So hopefully,
because hopefully that situation is so much longer term, because you have now a person who is unable to cope, on her own.
Yes, exactly. Right? Exactly. So yes, and I have, and I've interacted with both of them, and she's a delight, and I really like him. He's very funny, and yeah. He can also be very challenging. He yells a lot, and he can be abusive to the caregivers. Is the problem? So verbally abusive. No, yeah, he's not physical.
Yeah, because he's kind of in denial of what's going on.
Yes, yes, he is. Yeah, and he has admitted that he has a problem, and that's why we believe he's going to be able to get into rehab soon.
Yeah.
But he hasn't, you know, there's a financial commitment too for that. Yeah. And so that's part of the challenge as well, is right. How much money can be spent on that and all
yeah.
that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's always an interesting situation, right? But I'm so glad that they have you to help them, guide them in that the right direction for what they need, right?
Yeah, and I work with the Guardian too, and I think a lot of progress has been made in general. So we'll see how the whole thing it turns out. Yeah.
So, what would you like people to know more about you and your services?
Well, I'm there for you when you've tried to have those reasonable conversations with a person that you have to collaborate on the care of somebody else. That's really what it gets down to. Yeah. So in the elder care, it's similar to child custody. Yeah. So it's usually siblings that are having problems with each other. And you've got to deal with this situation. And yet you can't have the conversations that you need to. Mm-hmm. I'm there to help you figure that out better and learn the skills you need to end up doing it on your own, and to support you at the moments that you might still have some additional challenge.
Right.
It's all about what do you, you know, you define what it is you want out of the engagement. And so I'm more like a coach than a mediator now. And I do use my mediation skills in order to do the coaching. I'm trained as a transformative mediator. Mm-hmm. And that what that means is my goal, the work that I do is aimed at helping people understand each other better. Right. And so they're transformed in some way.
Right.
The relationship is transformed by deeper understanding, or they individually are transformed by deeper understanding of themselves.
Right.
Something shifts so that they can then move forward in a more productive manner.
Right.
And the big thing though, between the difference between me and a typical transformative like life coach or something, and I am also a life coach, is that I meet people where they are.
Right.
I am not expecting you to change the second you walk in the door. And you know, I know that you're in struggle and stress, and you're not coming to me because you just want your life to be better. You're coming to me because you have a specific thing that you need to work on. Mm-hmm. And you know, so a lot of people go to life coaches because they're having struggle with a certain kind of circumstance. I'm a little bit more like that. Yeah. But there are many people who go to life coaches who just, I want to be more expansive. I want to open myself up. I need more ideas. And I can help with that too. But my focus is more on the people who have a conflict of some kind.
Yeah. Like the conflict coach or whatever. I like that one.
And I help you understand the dynamics of conflict and how the brain works and how we can shift our thinking into that better problem solving state.
Right. Right. Well, I so enjoyed having you on the call, and we'll have to do a update in a few months and see how you're going, how you're doing. So
that'd be great.
Yeah. So how do people get a hold of you in the meantime?
So my full name is Anne Delaine W. Clark, and there are spaces in there and you put dots where those spaces go. And then it's at gmail.com is usually the best way to reach me. Okay. So, and I think that's on your site as well.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. So all your information will be on the site and below this video when I get it uploaded. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Yeah. Okay. Well, thanks very much for taking your precious time and being on the call today. I've learned a few things, so that's cool. So,
oh, good.
Okay, great.
And well, thank you for having me.
Hey, you're welcome. You're welcome. And let's keep going. And I love your theory about meeting people where they're at, because that's all we can do is, you know, can't shift anybody, can't change them. But if we can understand where they're at now, then there's more hope to change and shifting.
Right? They have to want, they have to make, those shifts.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, just saying as a mediator or coach, or whatever you call, what you want to call yourself, we have to meet, like, just like me as a doula, I need to meet them where they are at and not try to change them unless they want to, but that's up to them. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
Great. Thank you so much. And my final words is always be kind to each other, because my golly, that's all we have. Anyway,
yes, thank you for that's wonderful. Thank you.
Today. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.